Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
I don't know if anyone can relate to having a mom like that, but we wish all the moms happy Mother's Day. If you are a mom who is, that you have all your children out of the house, way to go. Good job. We know that you worked hard. If you're a mom who has all your kids at home still, then we pray for you that you will be a dynamic impact in your kid's life, and for all the moms yet to be who desire that in your heart, may God bless you with an abundance of children. And so that's our hope for you. Happy Mother's Day. Let's say thanks to all our moms here today and just give them a hand. We honor you, moms. Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is an exciting time in the life of our church. If you're visiting with us, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here at the Church of Lake Travis, and we are just celebrating so many things. Back around Easter time, we had about seven people begin a relationship with Christ, and we're continuing to celebrate that. And coming up next weekend, one of the ways we're going to celebrate that is through water baptism. And I wanted just to share a little blurb about water baptism, because I've had a number of people say this over the years, and that is some people feel like they were maybe baptized as an infant, and then they feel like that if they get baptized as an adult after putting their faith in Christ, that it would somehow negate what they did as a child. And I would argue with that and say that's not what is happening at all. You're only validating what your parents desire was for you as a child, and now you are validating that as an adult, that you're going to know and follow and love and serve Jesus for the rest of your life. And in fact, one person wrote this to me. They shared their story. He said, I was baptized in the Methodist church as a small child. As I grew older, I didn't realize that I didn't make that decision myself. So when I was in college, I had the opportunity to get baptized again, and it was at that point in my life where I wanted to renew my commitment to Christ and display that by choosing to get baptized again. I just think that's a super important point to remember. So let us know if you want to be baptized. You can write baptism on your connection card, and you can drop that in the faith box or hand it to one of us today before you leave, and we'll get you the proper information. I think that there's also a form on our website. You can just tell us a little bit about yourself and your story, and we'd love to have that as well. So, well, it is Mother's Day, and it is a message about communication, and we all know how much moms like to communicate with us, don't we? I just thought I'd share a few text messages that moms have sent their kids over the years, and take a look right up here. So the son is saying to the mom, so how's your new phone? And you finally have a smartphone. Yay! All right. Mom, are you there? Why aren't you answering me? How do you do a space? Very good. Okay, here's the mom. Mom's saying to her kid, don't forget to unload the dishwasher. Did you finish your homework? We have to go to your grandmother's house for Thanksgiving. Trying to get his attention. Dad and I talked. We're going to buy you a car next month. You are? OMG. Thank you. No, we're not. I just wanted to make sure you're getting my text. That was cruel. All right, good, good. Mom, why aren't you answering? Sorry, I dropped my phone and I can't find it. I'll text you when I can. Okay. You find it yet? No. Okay, let me know when you do. Oh, this is funny. This is for the mom who's beginning motherhood. Babe, I think I'm pregnant. The AT&C subscriber you're trying to reach is no longer in service. You know you spelled you incorrectly. You spelled it wrong. The AT&C subscriber you are trying to reach is no longer in service. And then finally, what does IDKLYNTTYL mean? I don't know. Love you. Talk to you later. Okay, I'll ask your sister. Communication is a big deal, and today we're talking about communicating on Mother's Day, but we're specifically talking about this idea that God is communicating with us, that God is speaking to us. And the big idea of this whole series that we've been in is that we want to lead us all to know God better. And as we look at the story of the Scripture over and over again, we see attributes of God that are happening in the story of Scripture that sometimes we tend to make us the subject, but we've said, no, we're going to make God the subject of this whole series, and we're going to get to know Him better, because I believe at the heart of every human is the desire to know God better. And so today we're talking about how God lets us know Him better, and that is how, through Him revealing Himself, Him speaking to us. And I think it's interesting because we live in a world that in many ways is obsessed with communication. Radio and television and text and email and newspapers and just so many things that our world is obsessed with communication. There are innumerable ways that people communicate and are communicated to. And the thirst for that kind of communication and relationship really flows out of the fact that we are made in the image of God, like much of our lives do. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, about the image of God in Genesis 1 and 2 and how God is creator. But last week we talked about how God is in this Trinitarian community. We sang about it just a moment ago. Our God is three in one. And as He's in a Trinitarian community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He is communicating with one another. They speak to one another. Now, oftentimes I think we tend to get our view of God from culture. Like, we start to see God as like, oh, my God's not like that. My God would never do that. Or God is one particular attribute, and you don't have included in all the other attributes of God. There are so many attributes that God has that are important that we get to see in the Scripture, but sometimes we miss because culture tells us one thing about God, but the Bible says something completely different. And so I think some of us, even when we think about God speaking, we get this idea of like Bruce Almighty, and we think the voice of God is like, it's got to be like Morgan Freeman, right? Like, it's got to have that kind of, or maybe Sean Connery or something, one of those voices, like just those good God voices. Now, but the reality is God speaks to us in different ways than actually audible voices, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. So the first question I think we have to answer is, what is this idea of revelation? What is the idea of revelation? And the idea of revelation is this: by definition, it means God's means by which He has chosen to reveal Himself to speak to us. You know, one of the first things we see in the opening pages of the Bible over and over again, it says about 10 times in Genesis 1, God said, God said, God said, God said. Our God is a God who speaks to us. And so the reason we need revelation is that we are the creator and God is, we are the created and God is the creator. And there's this separation between us. And if we're going to get to know God the Creator, then we have to have something to fill this gap. And God, in self-disclosure, speaks to us, reveals Himself to us. And we get these two ideas of specifically what kind of revelation that God shows us. And they fall into two broad categories, and we won't go into it a lot, but we'll spend some more time on the more practical aspects of revelation. But there are two primary ways that God reveals Himself. One is general revelation. That's available for all people in all times in all ways. Like, God reveals Himself generally. And then we have another category that's called special revelation. And special revelation is God speaking specifically through different means. And we're going to look at a couple of those today. Now, this is important to know that God is speaking to us through revelation, that he is purposeful, that he is intentional about communicating with us, because when we see specific revelation, we see that God isn't just a general God, like, oh, he's God creator, like many people believe that, but that he reveals himself specifically in the form of Jesus Christ, and that he actually did something on our behalf, that he died on the cross for our sin. That's special revelation. Now, there's a difference between revelation and speculation, because if God didn't disclose to us what we should know about him, then we would have to speculate. And speculation is the human effort to guess what God is like, or what God wants us to believe, or how God wants us to behave. If we were left to our own speculation, then we would miss the point. Now, God is speaking to us, and we're speaking to him, and we have this dynamic in a relationship that God wants us to have. And in the Bible, we see this happening over and over again. Now, some people might ask me from time to time, have you ever heard God speak audibly? And the answer is no, I've not. Maybe if you have, then you can share your story with me. I think that's pretty incredible. That would be a very special form of God revealing himself. But I think that we have these experiences, and I've seen these happen in other people's lives, and I've experienced them in my own life, where God is consistently revealing himself in three ways. God is consistently speaking in three ways. And I think there are three things that we can do if we want to see God speak in our life. Maybe I should say it differently. Maybe if we want to hear God speak in our life. But I'm going to use this imagery of seeing something, because seeing something leads us to hearing something. Okay, here we go. Number one, I believe we need to look up. Look up to the inspiration of creation. The inspiration of creation. Psalm 19, verse 1 says it this way. It says, the heavens, when we look up, declare the glory of God. The skies speak. They proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. I think that's so fascinating. God is speaking through creation. He's speaking again and again. He's declaring his glory. He's declaring his greatness. He's declaring his goodness through all the things around us. Last night, our family went out on Lake Travis just to kind of hang out. And I don't know if you've been out to Lake Travis recently, but it's gorgeous, like beautiful. And it's breathtaking in many ways. And I wonder if you could go to Lake Travis and not realize that there's somebody that made this, some creator that made this, that's pretty awesome. Last night we went up way up into Spicewood and Cow Creek, and there were these cliffs that were kind of concave, and they folded over, and they had water dripping off of them. It was gorgeous. And you can't help but think, wow, there's something bigger than me. When we went to Colorado over spring break, we went to the mountains, and the mountains are breathtakingly beautiful. When you look at the mountains, all of a sudden you have this moment where you just are amazed that the majesty of the mountains declare the majesty of God. When we go to the beach in the summer, I'm always fascinated by the fact that I sit on the beach, and we always go to the panhandle of Florida, so the beaches are gorgeous, that white sand that blinds you because the sun is reflecting off of it, and we'll go, and when we sit on the beach and we look out into the ocean, and it's just the Gulf of Mexico, but you can't see. Like, it just keeps going and going and going. And when I look out at the vastness of the ocean, I feel very small. And I realize that there is a creator. How about this? Maybe this is something that you've experienced before. Have you ever been in the room when a baby was born? It's unbelievable. All you moms, you've experienced that in a miraculous kind of way, that the miracle of childbirth, and that there's a baby being born, a human being that's being born. born, it's an awe, a moment of awe where you're like, wow, there is a creator. And the intricacies of him knitting together a baby in a mother's womb so that they can grow up and become one of us. Like, that's amazing. And I think we would all agree that when we look up into creation, that we have a sense that God is almighty, that he is powerful. Whether you're a Christ follower or not, I believe you can agree that these parts of creation remind us there's something simply bigger than us. In Colossians 1, talking about Christ, it says that all things have been created by him and for him, and as a result, all creation declares the glory of God. When I was a summer camp counselor at Sky Ranch up in East Texas, we would go out on the weekends when we didn't have any campers, and we would just look up into the starry sky. And in East Texas, there is no light pollution. There's no... you see the expanse of the sky and all the stars, and we would reflect on verses like Isaiah 40:26, that he knows each star and he calls them by name. He's a God who has created, but he's not one that spun it into motion and took his hands off. He's intimately involved, and he even knows your name. Not only do we need to look up and look to inspiration, but we need to look down. We need to look down to find instruction in God's Word. Instruction in God's Word. When we look down, maybe our Bible will be open and we'll look to his Word. Psalm 19:7 says it this way: the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Listen, God's Word should be the first place you look to find out who he is and what he's about. It's where you learn about the heart and mind of God. It's where we look to see what God taught us and how we should live. The Word of God is living and active. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And it pierces inside our heart. It challenges us and says, hey, this is not right about your life, and I want you to live in a life-giving relationship with Jesus, and this is what leads to life. The Word of God is powerful, it says. I want you to hear this, that God's Word is not a textbook. Like, it's not something for you to study and gain knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, the Bible says, but love builds up. And so this isn't an exercise where we study God's Word and we obtain this knowledge base that's amazing and you can go win Bible trivia. Like, that's, what good does that do? You're smarter than a fifth grader. Congratulations. That's not the idea. The idea is that we have a relationship with God. The Bible's not a history book. It's not a book that you study, although it has historical truths in it. That's not the goal. It's just to obtain facts about history. The Bible's not a science book. Some people try to make the Bible a science book. It's not a science book. It's a theology book, and that means it's a book about God. And it's a book that helps us get to know God better. If you know God's Word, then you hopefully will know God better. And you'll get to know Him better. When we disciple people around here, we're constantly asking the question, what is God saying to you? And how are you going to respond? What are you going to do about it? Just this week, I was meeting with someone who I've been discipling for about 6 months. And I was asking that question, like, what's God been saying to you? And how are you going to respond? And he shared with me something. He was so excited. He said, this week I passed the 6-month mark of reading my Bible every day. And he said, I'm on whatever day it was, 183 or whatever that number was. He's like, I just passed it this week, and I cannot tell you how much fruit I'm experiencing in my life as a result of reading God's word every day. I think that's so important. And he went on to say, he said, as a result, you know, God's speaking to me now. And so I'm going to do something in response to what God is saying. And so he said, I'm going to buy 25. He asked me, he said, do you think it'd be okay if I bought 25 Bibles and passed them out to people at church? And I'm like, no, that's not good. Don't do that. Kidding. Like, yes, of course. Yeah, pass them out to people at church. And so if a guy walks up to you at church and says, hey, would you commit in the next year to read your Bible every day? Then you'll know what that came from, okay? So I love that. I love that someone has gotten so excited about reading God's word and being so passionate about it that he wants to share it with other people. I believe that's happening, and I'm going to show you this. I believe that's happening in our men's Bible study on Wednesday mornings as well. We started this men's Bible study about 6 weeks ago in the book of Galatians. We're walking back through the book of Galatians. We know we just did that, but we're going through this inductive style of Bible study. It's a way of studying the Bible, not the way, but it is a way. But it's been awesome to see the truth of God's word coming alive in people's life, where they're saying, yes, I feel like I'm learning more about who God is, and this is so amazing. And so I just celebrate that as a way of saying that God's word is instruction for our life. It helps us get to know him better. And I believe we can't depend on me or Lee or our Bible study leader to learn it or teach it to us. We have to learn it for ourselves and dig in and look down into God's word. So we look up into creation, and all creation declares the glory of God, and God speaks to us and says, oh, here's who I am. And then we look into his word and it says, oh, this is specifically who I am. And then we look in and we get illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Psalm 19, verse 12, it says, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The final way that God speaks is very clearly unique. You can look up and see his handiwork. You can look in his word and read about him. But it's not until the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate by the Holy Spirit that all these things come together. The book of Isaiah prophesied about the work of the Spirit. And it said this, O people, the words won't come up on the screen, but let me share this with you. Isaiah 30, verse 19. O people in Zion, inhabit in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. God will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. You talk to him, he talks to you. And then it goes on and it says, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you, and it will say, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or to the left, it will tell you. Hey, does anybody need some help in life? Like, this is the way, walk in it. This is how I want you to handle your finances. This is the way, walk in it. This is how I want you to be a better mom. This is the way, walk in it. This is how I want you to be a better student. This is the way, walk in it. The Holy Spirit is illuminating God's word in a real and personal way, individualized to each one of us. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it is mysterious. We don't exactly, it's not scientific. We can't explain away how the Holy Spirit works, but it's personal. This week, I have a coach. And it helps me to be a better pastor and better leader. And so I was meeting with my coach, but rewind, remember I told you I disciple someone the last 6 months. I've been discipling him all day on Thursday as I was getting ready for that meeting. I felt impressed in my heart to share John 15 that says, "Abide in me and you will bear much fruit." And as I shared that with him, that's when we had that conversation. I told you about that already. So that was Thursday. Friday morning, I meet with my coach. And my coach says, "Jeremy, all week I've been praying for you, John 15. Can you explain that any other way but to say that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him about me, and the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about the guy I'm discipling? The Holy Spirit is personal, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants to help you walk in the way that he wants for you. Psalm 19 says it, who can discern their own errors? Like, if we're left up to ourselves, I can't, you can't. Like, we need the Holy Spirit in our life. It says this, we need the conviction of the Spirit. And when we are convicted, then we confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Some people are so prideful that they will never say, God, I confess. If you are here today, let me encourage you, don't be so arrogant. Be humble and say, God, I confess my sin to you. I've stepped on your toes. I've broken your commands. I feel conviction in my heart right now, and I am sorry. Confess that to God. Now, here's what's awesome. The Holy Spirit ultimately wants us to have a relationship with God. That's what all of these things lead to. As I said in the beginning of today's message, the ultimate special revelation is Jesus. And when we look up and look down and look in, these are all intricately working together. They're all working together ultimately to point us to Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. Jesus is pointing to the Father, and the Father's pointed to Jesus. And we'll look at that more next week. He also said, John 14:6, that I am the way. Jesus said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to me unless the Father draws him to me. How does the Father draw people to Jesus? Through the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just summarize it this way. If God is primarily speaking through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to live a biblical, Spirit-led life? What does it mean? It means that we learn to know and love and follow Jesus, because the Bible is about Jesus. When we come to the Bible and we open the pages of the Bible, we get God revealing Jesus to us. When we see a king in the Old Testament, we see that there is a king that was imperfect, but there is a better king, and it's King Jesus. When we see a shepherd boy out in the field tending his sheep, we see the great shepherd, Jesus, who is coming to be a good shepherd to you and I. And the sheep, by the way, will hear his voice. When we think about all the things of the Scripture, the prophets of Scripture, we find Jesus is the great prophet. When we see that all the different aspects of the prophet, the truth, the way, the life, it's all about Jesus. And here's what I want you to say. Here's my promise to you at the church at Lake Travis. We will talk about Jesus, because Jesus is the reason that we're here today. He's the one that we've given our life to, the one we're called to serve and to make a difference for. He is why we do what we do. We love Jesus, we serve him, we pray to him, we sing to him, and we want to be like him. And ultimately, we want to spend forever with him, so we believe in him. And that's what he says will help us to spend forever with him. I get excited about that. I want to be a Jesus-centered church. This morning, as we prayed with our volunteers here before everyone arrived, Pastor Lee led us in a prayer that people would hear about Jesus today and that they would know that he died on the cross for our sin, that he rose again from the grave, and that they would believe in Jesus. And so as the band comes, I want to invite you right where you are to evaluate where you are in this whole spiritual journey. That maybe you're here today and you would say, Jeremy, yeah, I need to believe in Jesus. Or maybe you're in a place where you just need to evaluate something else in your life. Maybe you are a Christ follower, but the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about something during this message, and I can't tell you what it is. Maybe for all you moms, maybe it's that he's speaking to you about something in your motherhood. For you dads, it's something about being a dad. I want you to know, draw close to Jesus, because that's the only thing that will help you be a better mom or be a better dad. And let me lead us in a time of evaluation and prayer in our own hearts to say, God, move in us, because we want our lives to make you look good. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Father in heaven, today, we are humbled by your grace and humbled that you chose to speak to us. And for the people here who maybe have never trusted Jesus for their life and eternity, I pray that they would take that step of faith even here and even now. That they would do as Romans 10:9 says, confess with their mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead. And God, I pray that they would confess their sin and turn from their sin, repent. And Father, for those who are here today who have put their faith and trust in you, but they've drifted away. They've had error in their life, and they've been convicted by your Spirit today, or convicted by your Word as we looked at your Word. I pray that they would confess that. In fact, right where you are, would you just breathe a prayer of confession to God? Especially here before communion, as we approach the communion table, that we just say, God, I've blown it. I confess my sin. And I ask you to forgive me. And you can be confident that he has forgiven you by his grace through his blood that was shed for you on the cross. Father, thank you for the way that you speak to us. We love you. We thank you for this symbol of communion that we're about to receive, that we can be reminded again, week in and week out, that you sent Jesus for his body to be broken for us and his blood to be shed for us so that we could be forgiven of all our sin. And we celebrate communion this morning because of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.